Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 11 to 22. And our devotion is entitled Finding Wisdom's Benefit. We want to talk about wisdom, true wisdom that God gives to his people to live this earthly life. Up to now, Solomon has been telling us for six chapters the life under the sun, the futility of life without God, without God's wisdom. Now he is taking hold of God's wisdom and he is imparting it to us so that we who are living this life on earth would have the heavenly wisdom to be able to go through life, what he would use, the word triumphantly, victoriously. And he would show us the secret. He tells us that true wisdom begins with the fear of God. Psalm 111, verse 11, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Proverbs 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." A God-fearer would take time to learn the wisdom of God's word, would be very patient, would be willing to humble himself, to seek God. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The God-fearer submits himself to the will of God, and he finds peace and joy and prosperity of the soul. Now, that's so important. And throughout this book, you'll find that Solomon is driving us toward that ultimate wisdom, the fear of God. The God-fearer finds victory in life. Verse 18 is the text that we want us to see as the emphasis. It says, "For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." Of all the trials, all the testings in life, the God-fearer will find victory in every part of that journey because he imbibes heavenly wisdom for his lot in life. And that's why he's showing us what this heavenly wisdom is. And it's not so straightforward, you see. It is straightforward and yet it is so deep. You need to take time to ponder. I took a lot of time to ponder and think. You know, to try to make sense of Solomon's words here. The Apostle Paul puts it in his own words in 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 11. He says, "But thou hast known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." The same words that Solomon says, "For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." You know, the Apostle Paul was a Old Testament scholar, in the sense that he studied the Old Testament from the famous Rabbi Gamaliel, the foremost teacher in Jerusalem. And he understood the Old Testament, but he could not comprehend its true meaning and theme in Jesus Christ until God opened his spiritual eyes, the Spirit of God came into him, and the jigsaw puzzle of the Old Testament was lighted up to him. And this was his testimony at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And both Paul and Solomon is telling us that God's wisdom was practical strength for him to live life triumphantly. It is nothing academic, nothing theoretical, but the wisdom of God is something that when you take hold of it, it gives you the wherewithal to run your life. And that's so important that when we study the Word of God, right, we are able to draw out principles by which our lives can be founded. And Solomon tells us it begins with the fear of God, what I would define as a holy attitude in life, to follow after God, to do his commandments. And Solomon shares with us what this entails. And he would tell us three things concerning this wisdom. It is safety, verses 11 to 12, and verse 14. It is security, verses 13 to 17. And it is strength, verses 18 to 22. He tells us in verse 11, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. What is he saying here? He's telling us that when you have godly wisdom, it saves you from the landmines of life. Those hidden bombs, you know, that you inadvertently, not carefully, when you're not careful, step on it, how it hurts you. So he tells us, right, in these first two verses, how wisdom is required to rightly manage and improve our worldly possessions. You have an inheritance, meaning that you possess something valuable that you did not work for it. It comes into your hands. But without wisdom, that inheritance can go to waste in no time. We learn the story of the prodigal son, how he lives wantonly and wasted his inheritance and was in want. He had to learn a good lesson. Better to have wisdom than to have an inheritance without wisdom. There is great profit that comes with godly wisdom. The writer Charles Swindoll, he said very well, with an inheritance comes the pitfall of pride. That's one observation. Suddenly, you know, you are endowed with much, and you realize that you don't know how to handle it. Wisdom preserves us from that. A man who has a good inheritance may be profited by wisdom because it will show him how to manage it to the best advantage. Daniel, the man who lived during the Babylonian captivity, learned from a very young age to put God first in his life. He prays three times a day. He will not defile himself with the idolatries of Babylon. And you see how God prospered him by giving him wisdom to live life in safety. Right? He was in foreign land amidst danger. And yet, he lived prosperously. he sought the wisdom of God. In the day of adversity, verse 14 says, be joyful, but in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. He tells us, you know, living this life is not a constant, in a sense that, you know, you go through the fortunes of life. You go through prosperity. You go through adversity. And wisdom will teach us how we are to handle these different seasons of life. God has set one over another, against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. He learns how and observes that, you know, with affliction, again I quote Swindle, comes the pitfall of doubt and disillusion. Right? When you are in adversity, that is when you would be most vulnerable to lose faith because of the storm that is raging around you, right? To be doubtful, to feel disillusioned. That's where you need wisdom. Right? Wisdom preserves you from that. Daniel trusted God to lead and guide him in enemy territory, even in the lion's den. You remember the story? He was thrown into the lion's den because he prayed. They saw him kneeling towards Jerusalem, praying to the God of Israel. But God delivered him from the lion's den. Even in a change of regime, when the Babylonians were ousted and the Persians came into power, Daniel remained a trusted counselor to the kings. His wisdom is from God. He was very much attuned to the voice of God and God's purpose for the ages. And so God wants you to be that man of God, in tune with the heart of God, the purpose of God. Daniel's God is our God. God's wisdom is our wisdom as we seek him. Did not Jesus exhort us in Matthew 7:7? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The trouble with us is that we choose to go our own way, live our own lives. Don't want to come to God. Truly, as Solomon says, wisdom gives life to them that have it. Jesus said to the woman at the well in Samaria, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst, or shall thirst again, this water from the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give you shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's speaking about the spiritual life. The life that is enriched, endowed by God through his Spirit.
That is the life that God wants you to build. How come your spiritual life is not strong?
Well, you have the wherewithal, and the Lord wants you to seek it, receive it, and prosper by it. So this wisdom, the Lord tells us, is safety. Whatever the season of life, whatever your lot in life, the wisdom of God gives you the practical wherewithal to handle it, the spiritual disposition to handle it. Wisdom is security. Verse 13 and 15 to 17. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? All things have I seen in the day of my vanity. There is a just man that perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? You see, God wants you, your heart, to rest in Him, whatever the external circumstances in life. The child of God knows that God is still on the throne. His life is not tossed by the circumstances that he is in. There is a consistency in the spiritual man's life. There is a dependency. There is a constancy that brings strength to his life and the people around him. The man of God who hides in the wisdom of God will learn how to interpret the apparent injustices and wickedness of this world by resting in the sovereignty of God in ordering all things after his own will. He will not become bitter. Again, I quote Swindle. With the anticipation of relief, vindication, even rewards from doing what is right, comes the pitfall of resentment and bitterness. Wisdom preserves us from that. You have the heavenly wisdom to be able to trust God, live in faith, not by the external circumstances. You remember when the disciples were in the boat in the Lake of Galilee? Jesus was asleep in the boat, and suddenly there was a raging storm. And how they were all so frantically panicking, but our Lord was there, restful amidst the storm. And they awake him, and they ask him to still the storm. And indeed, he did. Whatever the storms in your life, if you are willing to call upon the Lord, if you are willing to rest upon him, he preserves you from those storms of life. Truly, wisdom tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is the believer's power with God. And persistence in prayer is not the natural habit of the believer. Dear brethren, how is your prayer life? How can we fortify our hearts when extreme adversity comes? Will you give up on the Lord? By way of application, in the working life, it's not uncommon during crisis time to shift responsibility, to pass the buck by suggesting a scapegoat whenever things go wrong. And we may find ourselves unjustly blamed, accused, and the mistake is not from us, but we have to bear the consequences. And you ask yourself, what did I do wrong? Well, this is a true testimony of a brother in Christ. I was sharing from this passage in Luke chapter 18, and after the message he came to me and said, you know, this is what's happening to me in the office. And some months later, I was back there in the church and he shared with me, thank God, the Lord delivered me. The Lord wants us to know that God is still on the throne. That's wisdom. And we do not take matters into our own hands. We do not seek revenge. The Bible tells us that when our enemy thirsts, give him drink. When he's hungry, give him food. In this way, you provide a way for them to repent. God says, vengeance is mine. You see, after all, what is your final objective as a Christian in your workplace? Is it not to be a testimony to the people around you? But often we are quick to react. That's how war starts. Our tendency is to overreact. That's what the verse says. Be not righteous over much. Right? And that we have to be very careful. And that's wisdom, you see. Right? When we see, hey, that's not right. We cannot stomach it. And then we must stand up to fight for it. That's where, you know, we are not, that's where Solomon says we are not taking hold of wisdom. We are taking vengeance without giving them an opportunity to repent, while God desires not anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wow, not easy. But wisdom will give you the strength to be patient. Hence, the Lord is saying, leave it to me. I will do it in my time. If we leave things to God, we will continue to pray. And we will leave it to God to do it in the right time, in the right measure. You know, if you read Luke 18, in that parable of the widow, the Bible says that if you offend a child of God, you are offending, well, one who is described as the apple of my eye, the most important part of the body, most sensitive, most precious. And the Lord tells us that he knows what we are going through. As a loving father towards the children, you know, whatever that you're going through, does he not know? Of course he knows. Will he not help? Of course he will help. God is using your tribulation to work out repentance in their hearts. Therefore, there is no need to take revenge. God will do so in His time. Continue to trust Him. Wisdom is safety, wisdom is security, and wisdom is strength. Verses 18 to 22. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken. Now this we will talk about it after we explain the first part, right, verses 18 and 19, which we began in our introduction. We said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is strength. And this is the thought that we want to think about. Okay? When it leads us to humble ourselves before God, to realize that we are sinners saved by grace. There is nothing innately good that we can boast that we possess. It is only by the grace of God that we are what we are. If God has not provided us with strength, we will not take the city. And so he tells us that wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. He makes a comparison between brute strength and heavenly wisdom. And he tells us that when we are willing to look to God, you see, this third thought is very interesting. How do you find strength in heavenly wisdom? Wisdom teaches us to learn to forgive offenses against us. That's an important lesson. You know, there are many who are so troubled in their hearts because they just could not forgive the offenses that are taken against them. Matthew Henry says very well, he says, it enables us to wink at many of the injuries that are done us and act as if we did not see them. And you know, verses 21 and 22 is so interesting. Take no heed unto the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thy own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. He tells us, please be humble. Please realize that we can fall too. And therefore, it teaches us to be few in words. It teaches us to be able to handle offenses against us. And that is wisdom, you see. Verse 20, he says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Who are we to say that we have no sin? But it behooves us to realize that we have to, in a way, at times, to shut ourselves out from many hearsays, you know. Things come into our ears, and oftentimes unpleasant. If you are going to take offense to every word that comes, then, you know, life is going to be quite miserable, he's saying. But he tells us that we are no different. We can also offend in words. And so, the fear of God teaches us to be humble. But he giveth more grace, James says. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. To submit means to put under. It means to obey. It is a command. It appeals to the will. There is no option if we would like to receive God's blessing again. And the word to submit is a voluntary act of placing oneself under the authority of someone else to show respect and obedience. This submission is to no man but to God. But it helps us to reverence authority. It helps us to put aside our pride, to come before God. And so this word to submit stressed the beginning of an action, an entrance into a state, to the realm of God's blessing by coming to Him. That is strength. And so Solomon now is turning the tables, showing to us what wisdom we can receive out of his word to serve him better, to live our life better, to live triumphantly in this life. How happy it is to be able to imbibe and find wisdom's benefits. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for giving us thy word. May thy spirit bless and strengthen our hearts by thy mercy and grace. This I ask with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.